The last 2 weeks, we've been looking at the often misunderstood concept of blessing. We use the term blessed so freely, but what does it mean to be blessed? What is a blessing? We looked at Psalm 1 a couple weeks ago, which showed that in the big scheme of things, there are two directions in life, one leading to blessing and fulfillment and satisfaction, and the other leading to disappointment and regret. Last week, we began with a teaching in Ecclesiastes 1:14, which spoke about life being a meaningless chasing after the wind. What a dark term phrase that is. And contrasted that to God's way to blessing, as seen in the Sermon on the Mount in Matthew chapter 5. Matthew chapter 5 begins with the Beatitudes, and in each of these 9 Beatitudes, Jesus points to a blessing that is not reflected in the accumulation of things, but in a condition in our lives. We're so used to thinking of blessing as things as opposed to something within us. And so this morning we're going to look at the first of the 9 Beatitudes in Matthew chapter 5, verse 3, which simply says, Jesus says, "Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven." There it is. Short and sweet. Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. The question is, what does that mean? And the first thought that runs through my head when I read this verse is the unusual association of the two words that often don't go together, and that is blessed or blessing and poor. Seldom, if ever, do we associate anything poor with blessing. And the reason why we often associate blessing with riches and poor with the lack thereof is because that's how we've come to think about life. We automatically assume that to have financial resources and lots of it means that we are blessed. And the more we have, the more blessed we are. And if you have very little, then you are poor. That's the way we think. And as a result, we place a lot of emphasis on our resources, on our possessions, as determining whether we are blessed or not. I have this, I must be blessed. I have that, I am blessed. We even teach our kids this, not intentionally, but inadvertently, we teach them that having things is a blessing. With all the best intentions in the world, we tell our kids, right? We tell our kids they should get good grades. Why? So that they can go to college or a university. Well, why? So they can get a good job. Well, why? So that they can make lots of money. I mean, that's what it comes down to. Or we tell our kids when they want something, and we tell them, you can't have it. Why? Because it costs too much. And we're inadvertently teaching our kids that if we just had more money, more possessions, more things, then we'd truly be happy. And that's what we need. And kids grow up thinking that having things is the solution to everything. So it's not a surprise then that so many times we equate blessing with having it all. The more we have, the more blessed we feel. But that's not the way God sees it. As far as God is concerned, as far as the scriptures teach us, possessions are not a blessing. If anything, they're a hindrance. Jesus said, "It is easier for a camel to go through the eye of a needle than for someone who is rich to enter the kingdom of God." At another point in his ministry, Jesus said, "What good is it if someone gains the whole world yet forfeits their soul?" You can have all the things and not be blessed. And that's the problem that Jesus was facing, just as it's the same problem we're facing today, the misconception of what it means to be blessed. And so in contrast to that, Jesus teaches us where true blessing lies. And as odd as it might sound, perhaps even scandalous in today's world, instead of blessing being found in the accumulation of possessions, instead of blessing being found in the avoidance of unfortunate circumstances, Jesus teaches us that it is the poor in spirit that are blessed, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. If we want to be blessed, we need to look carefully at what does it mean to be poor in spirit. If we want to evaluate how blessed we are, instead of looking at our checkbook, but do people carry checkbooks anymore? Instead of looking at your online account, we need to look at what does it mean to be poor in spirit, and how does my life relate to that? So the question then is, who are the poor in spirit? And that's a very important question for us to consider this morning. The poor in spirit, they are the ones who are bankrupt, not financially, but they are bankrupt of any of their own resources to get right with God. The greatest need we have is to be right with God. The greatest need that we have is for us to be in relationship with God. And the poor in spirit are the people who have put their whole trust in God because God is all they have. Because God is the one who can help them. Because they don't have the resources. All our righteousness is like filthy rags. If we claim to be without sin, we deceive ourselves. And the truth is not within us. For all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. We are poor in spirit when we recognize that our only hope for salvation is in God. This is what it means in the Psalms when the word poor is used so often. The poor man cried, and the Lord heard him and saved him out of all his troubles. The hope of the poor shall not perish forever. God delivers the poor. The poor in these cases are the ones who are completely reliant on God. And so when we look at this meaning of blessed and what does it mean to be blessed, the question we need to ask is, how completely reliant am I on God? When Jesus says, "Blessed are the poor in spirit," he is saying that those who are going to find fulfillment and peace and blessing and the kingdom of God are the ones who are aware of their own spiritual emptiness or bankruptcy apart from God. They are the ones who are aware that they are helpless outside of God's grace. It is God's grace that saves us, not ourselves. Nothing is sadder than a person who has a great need and doesn't even realize it. They're walking in the dark. The awful thing about the Pharisees in the New Testament was their lack of understanding of how poor they were right in the sight of God. That's why Jesus hinted that they are the blind leading the blind, both doomed to fall into the pit. Jesus said to the church in Laodicea in Revelation 3:17, "You say, 'I am rich, I have acquired wealth and do not need a thing,' but you do not realize that you are wretched, pitiful, poor, blind, and naked." Blessing is not in all the things that we have. We can have all the things and still be wretched, pitiful, poor, blind, and naked. And that's the problem with being spiritually blind. We don't get better until we realize there's a problem. Truth is, before any healing can take place, a sick person needs to admit that there is a problem. Fortunately, pain often lets us know that there's a problem and we can deal with it. But when it comes to this sickness of sin, instead of feeling pain at it, we often feel some kind of exuberance because it seems so pleasant, so comforting, so comfortable, so fulfilling, but it leaves us empty. It leaves us poor. It leaves us wretched, pitiful, blind, and naked, as the Lord said to the church in Laodicea. You might remember the parable of the unmerciful servant. When Jesus taught us that we need to forgive if we hope to be forgiven, right? But there's a lesson in that parable that is just as important. And that is when the servant was called to pay his enormous debt, the servant didn't make any excuses. The servant didn't deny the reality of his debt. He didn't try to cover it up or blame others for it. He didn't blame the stock market. He owned up to his problem. And he did the only thing he could. He asked for mercy. The problem was bigger than what he could resolve. And that's what Jesus is saying needs to happen in us if we are going to be blessed spiritually. We need to come to that place of understanding that we need Christ, that we need him in our lives more than anything else, that nothing else is going to satisfy or fulfill the need within our hearts, our lives. We need to own up to the fact that we are completely and hopelessly lost in our sin if we're going to find the grace and peace of forgiveness. And that's a concept that's hard for us to grasp, because the truth of the matter is, we don't want to admit that. We want to think that we can do anything. We can solve any problem. We are the master of our own destiny. But it's only when we find ourselves empty before the Lord that he can fill us. One of the biggest challenges that we face as a Christian people is our relative decency. You know, you live a decent life. I live a decent life. You don't go harming other people. You try to follow the Ten Commandments as best as you can. And then we always add, you know, after all, we are only human. We come to church. We watch it online when we have to. We help out with this or that. Maybe you've been baptized. And overall, we're a whole lot better. You're a whole lot better than, you know, others, right? That's what we think. That's what the Pharisees thought. Better than most people. And that's a dangerous thing to allow in our minds. Because while all those things are good and they have their place, they don't bring us into the kingdom of God. It's only when we realize, when we come to that place where we are poor in spirit, when we realize our emptiness apart from Christ, when we hunger and thirst for Him, when we know that He's our only hope, much like the unmerciful servant was, that's when we are filled with blessing. We cannot fix ourselves. Only Christ can heal us spiritually and make us whole. Another way to look at this is like this. So, suppose I'm walking to church on Sunday or Wednesday or any other time, and I don't do that nearly as much as I should anymore, by the way. But just imagine I was walking to the church, and you see me, and you stop your car, and you offer me a ride. I may or may not take you up on that ride, but I do appreciate it. It's a nice gesture, and I might take you up, I might not, but I'm thankful. I'm thankful if you thought about me. Great. That's good. But suppose on the other hand, I'm out on the Dempster Highway, and it's November, and we've done this, and we had our old snowmobile, which we no longer have, and we take it out off the highway because you had to be a certain distance from the road, and sometimes we'd be a few kilometers away from the road. And so imagine I'm, you know, 5, 6, 7, 8 kilometers away from the highway on my snowmobile, trying to get a caribou, poor caribou, and it's almost sunset, it's getting late, and my snowmobile has broken down. That's happened too, by the way. Fortunately, not 8 kilometers from the road. But imagine I'm there, 8 kilometers from the road, the sun is getting ready to set, deep snow everywhere, or else they wouldn't allow you to use the snowmobiles out there to start with, and it's already cold, and it's going to only get colder once the sun goes down. And it's just about then, when I'm about to panic, that I see somebody come by in a snowmobile. And they say, "Hey, Norm, do you need a ride? Do you need some help?" And it's be like, "Yes, do I ever. Man, oh man, thank you. Yes, I could. I'll come back for this tomorrow, or maybe you have the tools to get me going, or whatever the situation." All of a sudden, I am relieved that I don't have to try to walk back 8 kilometers in the cold in the night and get lost while I'm at it, by the way. I can tell you, I will be a whole lot more grateful in the second situation than in the first. In the first, I didn't think of myself as being in dire straits. If I got a ride to church or didn't really matter. It was nice if I got a ride, but it wasn't necessary. But in the second, getting some help was a matter of life and death. And I consider myself extremely blessed and grateful. And in this beatitude, Jesus is saying that the blessed ones are the ones who have truly recognized how desperately necessary Christ is in their lives. Christ isn't simply some add on in their lives. Christ isn't simply someone who is there once in a while when you need him. Christ isn't there because, you know, it's cool to be Christian or anything like that. Christ is a desperate necessity in their lives, and they realize there is no other way to be saved. And what Jesus is saying is they are the ones who are blessed, because theirs will be the kingdom of heaven. And it goes to say, without saying, that the opposite is probably true as well. The ones who are not desperately needing Christ, for whom Christ is not an essential but an add-on in their lives, it would seem to be meaning that for theirs is not the kingdom of heaven. And so I want to encourage you this morning, if you want to experience blessing, it isn't in things, it's in our relationship with Christ. It's in understanding that Christ died for our sins and offers us eternal life, and that without him, we are hopelessly and eternally lost, no matter how much we may acquire. Jesus says, if you would come to him, you won't be disappointed. You will be filled, and you will be blessed. So my encouragement for you this morning is simply that, to come to Christ. He is our hope. He is our salvation. We desperately need him. It's life and death, not a simple casual walk in the park. Let's pray. Our Heavenly Father, Lord God, this morning I just really pray that as we consider your place in our lives, Lord, that if we have regulated you to the place of nice thing to have, good part of our lives, and not a necessity, Father God, you would help us this morning to see just how empty we are without you. And Lord, it is when we realize how bankrupt we are without you that we can lean to you and look to you and receive from you the gift of life and hope and a future. And Father God, I pray this morning that for each one of us, whether we're here or watching online, Lord God, that you would check our hearts, Lord, that we would not simply associate with you, but Father God, that we would receive you. We would realize, Lord, that you died for our sins, that we can come to life. And Lord, may we experience that life and that joy and that peace and that blessing in you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen.